Congratulations. You have chosen a great podcast and proved the justice of our culture. Now, sit and listen, our heroes, to the Enlightened Gamer Podcast.
Hey, welcome back to the Enlightened Gamer. I am Matt.
And this is John.
And we are back from our 11-month hiatus, so...
So good to be back. I can't believe that you and I have not done anything together for the past 11 months.
Except for that balloon ride we had around the world.
True, and then we were roommates for 3 months.
Yep.
We had some personal stuff that we got through.
Yeah. Do we want to
impersonal things?
Do we want to pull back the curtain?
We can pull it back as far as you want to. As far as you want to share,
okay,
and explain the hiatus and include everything up to and including the domain name change.
So, here's the big bullet.
Matt pays his bills.
Sometimes. So here's the big bullet point. The big takeaway is that Matt is single again. So back in the market.
Yay!
Which means that I'm kind of going through a divorce right now, which, I mean, it's whatever. It's not the rosiest of subjects, but, it's the right thing for me, you could say.
Insert Rosie Palms joke.
If you need to, I guess.
No, I won't.
Yeah, I think we can get into it. We'll open up the can of worms without closing it in this episode, so there's your, intrigue. It's one to have them come back for, but yeah.
Well, then we got to live together for a little bit.
We did
figure some stuff out. Now you're back at the place that we used to live together.
Correct.
And you're getting
Life is back in a way. It's back to where it was. I don't know, 4 years ago, which is a really weird feeling. Sometimes, like for the most part, it's okay. But then sometimes you're like, man, it's like my life just kind of like flashed forward 4 years and I hadn't really accomplished anything or done too much.
And then I woke up and I was living with my brother again.
Yeah. And I mean, I had 31.
Not the brother that we do the podcasts with.
No. But I had 31 episodes of a semi-successful gaming podcast.
It's true. I was soon to be 32.
Soon to be. Yeah, John, what have you been gaming in the last 11 months?
What have I been gaming? So, since our last episode, I was made moderator of a popular Minecraft server, so I've been playing on that quite a bit. Generally, I play a lot when the new revisions come out. I build my city and my civilization, link it up, and then I lose interest and nearly get kicked off the mod squad. That's pretty much the routine.
So do you have like a template for your apologetics email of being like, hey, sorry guys, I know I should be more active as a moderator, probably should be less of a flake in general, yada yada.
Full disclosure, I used your situation last July as an excuse. Hey, I'm just helping out a friend right now. He's going through some tough times. I'm not going to be able to moderate for a couple weeks.
Fortunately for you, nobody listens to this podcast.
It's true. But in case you hear this, Silver... I was just joking.
And in case this thing goes off the air again for any length of time, it's not going to be for me this time. It's going to be John's like, yeah, I fell back fully into Minecraft depression.
Relapse, I believe is the word.
Yeah. I'm not familiar with the term. But
it's not just Minecraft, though. There have been other games.
Yeah.
Of course, Rocket League. I would say I put the most hours in Rocket League and GTA 5. I mean, those are pretty common AAA games, but... Well, Rocket League's not really AAA, but it's become AAA.
I think it is now. Yeah, I don't think it was
retroactively
at inception, but yeah, I think by now it's probably one of the biggest AAA games.
And the interesting thing is, I've been kind of being a bit of a console peasant for the past 6 months or so. I've been more relaxed in my approach to gaming lately. I just want to pick up, you know, an hour here, an hour there. Sometimes it's kind of nice to hang out on the couch with the dogs and just play some games and not really.
I guess that's another thing for me is like, yeah, I've also started up like a YouTube channel, and I'm not even going to like plug it right now because it's not to the level I want it to be. But don't worry, as soon as I have it to that level, I will not stop plugging it. But yeah, like I was thinking about for a video idea the other day. If you're not specifically a PC gamer and you're not specifically a console gamer, you're kind of like floating out there in the wind and nobody likes you because like
it's true.
The console gamers think you're a tryhard and the PC gamers think you're like a filthy casual. So like,
and it's really funny. I was looking at the Microsoft Facebook page today, or the Xbox Facebook page, and they just announced Project Scorpio, which is the new amped up version of the Xbox One. And the comments were just a special form of cancer. It was either people saying, well, my PC can play all these games, or, you know, Xbox is so much better than PC because, you know, whatever reason. But some guy said, oh, that's great, Microsoft, but I'm not going to buy your console until you have exclusives. I thought, what kind of logic is that? Like, why would you want to have something only that you could enjoy on your console, but not that everyone couldn't enjoy, but people that chose the same console as you? Like, you're not in it for the gaming experience. You're in it for exclusivity.
The social exclusivity of that, which
that's
is
so
weird.
Cancerous. It's like the people who, what is that game, Uncharted for a PS4?
Yeah.
People say, oh, PS4 is the best because we have Uncharted. Well, guess what? My PC could run that game if they decided to make it put on PC.
Easily,
and Xbox could
beautiful.
Run that game, I'm
yeah,
sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It is nothing to do with the PlayStation as to why that is exclusive. It's all to do with a business decision that was made, which I think is probably a poor business decision. But, like, why would you as a gamer want exclusivity? That's what I walked away with.
I think it's a weird business. I mean, so there was a certain point where being competitive with one another was the way to go. Like, yeah. Honestly, I think Microsoft and like Sony at this point should probably just drop the walls and be like, all right, we need to start making our consoles communicate because both of us will sell more units that way.
And look what happened. I'm sure Sony and Microsoft made quite a bit of money off of Rocket League
when it became,
and they're still making it because they make commission off all the keys being sold and everything. Like, opening that up to cross-platform, it was the best decision. And on PC, I can dominate people that are on their consoles.
here's the thing. There's already an inherent competition between Microsoft and Sony fanboys. Like, if you see the other player, like, let's say Uncharted is a great example, because I think it's got, like, good multiplayer, like, PvP kind of stuff. If you saw Uncharted come to Xbox, there would be this, like, immediate rivalry between you seeing, like, everyone I'm playing with in this lobby right now is on PlayStation, and everyone I'm playing with is Xbox.
Yeah.
So then it's immediately like, it's a console war in itself. And it's not like...
so dumb.
But like, Microsoft doesn't need to profit off exclusives, neither does Sony.
No.
Like, they can
open
both...
it up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here's the thing. Since our last episode, we elected a meme as our president, and it makes you really think about the people that... You know, regardless of your politics, the kind of people that support like something because they chose it, it's like they chose the team, and no matter what, they support the team. So like, I'm team Xbox, I'm team PlayStation, I'm team Trump, I'm team whatever. Like, no matter what that person or that company does, you're going to support it because you support it.
That's your reason.
It's completely arbitrary.
You're an indentured like Patriots fan who's defending them cheating and like what, so I don't
exactly,
know
exactly, but it's, like your reality is defined not by facts, but it's defined by your allegiance. So you are completely fine with making completely intellectually dishonest arguments as long as they support your what you chose to be your favorite console, your favorite.
We just watched a great YouTube video downstairs by iDubbs.
Yeah.
And it was about him making fun of the coolest cooler, which is a Kickstarter project of like a cooler that has a Bluetooth speaker in it and a blender and like a USB charger and
giant lead acid battery.
And a bunch of just kind of dumb stuff. And it's but the thing is,
and a corkscrew that's not attached.
Our president, if that's the argument you want to make, but whatever. The product is already out there. It's just the lengths to which people will defend the need for that product. Or
and it's that sunken cost fallacy, like where you buy that car that's way too expensive, but now you own it. So you are going to double down on why you bought that car.
Oh, absolutely.
Or why you voted idiot, the way like, you did. You, or,
I'm not an idiot. You're an idiot because look at all these things this car affords me or whatever.
And generally, people that buy consoles... I'm not going to make a generalization, but a lot of people that buy consoles don't really have the money to or the expertise to build a computer. So they're more of a not casual, but they're more of a intermediate gamer. And that's a lot of money, you know, $400 for a console or whatnot. So they spent the money. They're going to support it, and they're going to ride it down to the grave.
Here's the thing. The argument for consoles has always been it's a closed system with all the hardware and everything already built into it and the support for it. So the only thing I've seen that's problematic about being a console gamer in past, I don't know, year or so, you're starting to see games that come out for the consoles and they're having like frame drops. They're having network issues. They're having all these things that like you bought the console, bearing in mind the fact that these weren't going to be issues you'd have to address because you're not an IS consultant. You're not, you know, some kind of coding.
And you can't like pop open the hood and fix. I've had all sorts of issues on my PC and I can fix most of them when they affect like my gaming. You know, sometimes you have to change a network setting, or I've you know fixed QoS settings on my router. Or there's a lot of things you can do. You can even optimize your graphics or roll back the driver, whatever. You're at the mercy of the of Sony or Microsoft or Nintendo with the console. So when you start getting the frame drops, there's nothing you can do.
Right. We kind of signed a tacit agreement that like you guys are going to build your games and support them in such a way. I don't need to worry about things like frame drops or finding empty lobbies or whatever.
And with the new creators update for Xbox, we've been having a lot of issues. I know with Rocket League, some with GTA, where the game is like lagging out, sometimes crashing.
Yeah, I've seen really weird frame drops for the first time in GTA Online ever. And I know it's not anything to do with Rockstar or anything that they're doing.
No, because it's a lot of games.
The more frustrating part.
Even Psyonix said, because of this creator's update, we're having issues with the game. You know, bear with us. But it's on them to figure it out.
Yeah, when was the last time you and I ever like sat in a lobby waiting to find players in a Rocket League match for like multiple minutes on end?
Only this week?
Yeah, pretty much.
The matchmaking was spot on until
I think
then.
That's because everyone's playing Drop Shot, though, to be fair.
Yerp.
Maybe not.
So anyhow, I want to reiterate, I'm not an elitist. I own, like I said, I own a Xbox One. I own PC with a nice GTX 1060, which is kind of a plebe card because we have friends that have dual 1080s.
I think there's a thread that you and I belonged to earlier this week. It said one of the people inside was like, hey, I have a GTX 980 just collecting dust on my floor if anyone wants it.
Good grief.
So those are the kind of like the circles we run in. And I was immediately like, that's a better card than what I have.
Did
and
you
he's
get
just
it?
Like, no, because there's someone else in that same thread who's like, and I immediately was like, this is a good call because he's like a 14-year-old kid, basically, that we're all friends with.
His name
and we
is
know
Jonathan.
From gaming. And this is his address. But immediately I was like, yeah, okay, this guy's got like a Radeon 7700, like, and he's got, you know, a paper route worth of allowance, you know, like, let's let this kid have the nice graphics card because I have my own means by which to at least, you know, save up or invest in a better graphics card. And I'm running a 970. It would have been like a minimal
and
upgrade.
That's
a really
nice thing to do for a kid who's getting into PC gaming. If you got a card, you know, let him get
a
card.
I felt like Mean Joe Green tossing my jersey to him or whatever right before I had a big old gulp of Coke or whatever that is.
So
the,
you
the
could
drink,
argue.
The beverage.
You could argue that the 980 is, if not better, only slightly worse than the 1060.
Yeah.
It's a good card. I don't know if it's one of the titanium ones, but
you got me.
TI or whatever, but it's a nice card, and you would be remiss to turn that over, to give it away. You could make $200 selling it, or maybe $150.
I think even my card's worth like new $250 right now. It's the 970, so it's a step down from that. So that's probably like a $300 card.
The 1060 right now is
but it's
about $250,
but
you can't SLI
generation it. And then like quality kind of. So
yeah,
like,
you can't SLI the 1060.
And graphics cards are weird, man. Like, and kind of like PC hardware in general. Yeah. Like the pricing on it's a little bit strange, but like I guess that's kind of the thing too, is to stay relevant as a PC gamer, you're constantly upgrading. There's more hardware and stuff that goes into it.
If you want to stay so relevant that you can get 144 frames per second to match your 144 hertz monitor, and you know, if you're on the bleeding edge, you're going to need that performance. For me, the 1060 I have will last me another 3 years.
Yeah,
or not another. It will last me 3 years.
I think part of the problem and the reason people upgrade more consistently now has to do with like so many games coming out. Some of them being like early access, being unoptimized. So like your hardware's got to run way faster to try and fix up.
Well, like, you know, another game I've been playing, 7 Days to Die.
Yeah.
That game should not require you to have a big, beefy graphics card, but it does. I had the,
Because there are, like, code redundancies and, like, unoptimizations, if you want to say.
Yeah, I had the HD 7700, the Radeon, I think is what it was. No, 7850.
Yeah.
Which is a decent card, decent low-end card now.
Yeah, it's fine.
Maybe low to mid.
But you're probably still getting, like, frame drops and stuff.
Oh, it was terrible. I was getting, at some point, I was getting like 15 frames per second.
Pushing down the graphic settings.
Oh, yeah. I overclocked and I, you know, excessively cooled it. But the problem was the game's not optimized. So I got 15 frames per second.
That's another uniquely modern problem with gaming, too, is that they were also trying to push it onto like Xbox and things at the same time.
They stopped developing for PC because they wanted to get that sweet, sweet money grab from the console. Which, yeah. I mean, I understand it, but they really needed to fix their...
Boom shakalaka!
Because there's still an alpha on PC, yet they released a finished product on console. Come on. You know, all they did is they took all that alpha code and...
Yeah, it's supposed to be. Oh. But...
Well, you can censor that out.
sorry, John slipped back into the Let's Talk Movies, I guess, mode for a second.
What did I say?
He forgot this was our weird Christian podcast we have.
Anyhow, which you actually will edit that out.
Well, I'm sure I will. I'll be in the editing chair until 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. So,
anyhow, lost my train of thought here. We were talking about 7 Days to Die.
They should have fixed things.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they took
their stuff,
that big pile of crap, and they tied it up in a bow and released it as a final product on console. And it's still an alpha on PC.
Yeah.
Years later.
It's going to be early access till 2020.
But then again, so look at Ark. Ark is still.
It's not going to get developed any further either. It's just going to. They'll stop calling it early access and be like, full release, patch 1.0.
I tried playing it a few days ago, and it's so hard to get back into because it's just not smooth. You really have to commit to the fact that it's not optimized. It's clunky. Still phenomenal mechanics. I love the game so much.
It is really good.
But it can be improved so much, too.
It's had a lot of my, like, more favorite gaming moments in it have been, like, playing this game and everything. Even though it was, again, part of, like, me going through a really weird, rough part of my life.
Yeah,
like,
where you and I were shacking up, and we were playing this game with my cousin, who
I think shacking boyfriend, up has an implication.
I know. Yes, it does. My cousin's boyfriend had set us up with a server, and the three of us were just playing like 10 hours a day on the server.
It was great. Yeah, we were no-lifing that game really
hard. It was so much fun.
As the kids say.
We built this gigantic fortress that was zombie-proof.
And then my brother Joel got into it pretty hard, too.
Which brings us up to a pretty funny story.
Like the snow fort up north, or I mean, whatever part it was. I guess there's like randomly generated biomes in this game. But
I would say about 24 man hours were spent building this snow fort and making it zombie-proof.
It was amazing. It was like amazing. Kind of a marvel.
We took a house and we made it into a fortress.
We dug trenches.
We put concrete around it.
Yeah, we put up like the iron like defenses, then we put wood defenses.
Oh, the spikes,
and
yes.
Spikes,
yes.
Yeah. And
barbed wire.
All kinds of stuff. And then
somebody had to do a little maintenance in the basement.
We basically, that was after like the Helm's Deep defense, like 6 hour battle of like the seventh day zombie.
It's like
horde.
The 49th day at that point.
Yeah, and it was just like we killed so many zombies and we're doing so many crazy things.
The house is pretty damaged. We had to go
fix
it. House
is really messed up. But my brother's like, well, let's get to work on this from... Well, I don't even
start
have to say my brother, Joel. Yeah, you guys know Joel. He's like, well, let's start from the ground up. It starts digging out different parts like of the basement, underneath the basement. And I don't think he knows this at this point. And I certainly hadn't remembered, but it's like based on real physics. So he basically like chips away at what he doesn't know is the keystone to the basement. And the entire house, just like all three
with
stories.
With us in it.
Well, you guys were in it. I think you guys had to run out. I was outside, so I got to watch the whole thing from the outside. And it was just like watching your entire life fall to pieces.
It's
again,
crumble right in front
of
your eyes.
But like, yeah, it was just like kind of like super, it was like really traumatic because it was at a time we weren't yet to the point where we played this game enough. We were messing with like moderator settings and whatever. And I don't think I was like, hey, John, just give me like a perfect hunting rifle or whatever. So it's like all these things that we tried really hard to get and worked really hard for. And it just all came like crumbling down into a pile of like ash and cinder and like
And the thing
Bedrock.
We didn't cheat. The only thing I cheated was I changed some of the settings. I made the night zombies not run.
Yeah.
And I gave the zombies like 75% aggression instead of 100%. And that just made the game hit the sweet spot of enjoyment.
Right.
Game. Like, running zombies ruin that game.
Yeah. They make it really hard. I mean, I don't know.
28 days later style zombies.
The game's really, really challenging. I think, like, to really be good at it, you have to spend a lot of time playing it. And
we did. We put like 100 hours in, built that amazing fort, and we're still having fun. But I think, like, you moved out and.
But I don't want to be like a Malcolm Gladwell type outlier, 10,000 hours master of 7 days.
Well, we were 100th of the way towards 10,000 hours.
Yeah. You know, it's weird. Like, you think about it. You try and introduce people to gaming sometimes. Like, I think if you are someone who's dating someone and, like, gaming is a relevant part of your life, you try and introduce your significant other to that at some point. And it's weird to think about, like, well, why don't they just like video games? But then this weird kind of not like revelation, but just thought today or like in the last few days, well, yeah, sometimes they don't like it because you grew up and you're playing video games from the time you're like 4 on. By the time you're like 7, you're already a Malcolm Gladwell outlier of like 10,000 plus hours, at least in the general category of video games, you know? Like, I'll pick up a video game and I'll better inherently understand it. I'll more naturally be able to play it than someone who's not played it very much. So I think it's like trying to transition someone through that is really difficult.
Hmm.
I think today's game we're going to be talking about, at least at some length, which is Rocket League. I mean, you already know because I'm sure it says somewhere in the description or the title or something. But
which, how many hours do you have in that game?
Between console and PC, because I own it for both, I'm guessing I have at least, I want to say 500 hours, but that might be a stretch. Maybe not.
I think I have 300.
Yeah.
Because I have about 180 on PC legitimate, because I left the game open for the past 24 hours.
48, I think. Well.
It's been 24, because I played it after work yesterday.
Oh, okay.
So maybe a little more than 24. But aside from that, I would say maybe about 150 hours on console.
I've got legitimacy of at least probably 400 hours. I played the game like it was my job, and so did a lot of my friends when it first came out on PC, and that was like really all we played.
It was August of 2015. I remember because I was recovering from pneumonia, and I used to play so terribly.
Yeah.
And I would laugh so hard at my mistakes, but that was painful because I was still recovering from pneumonia.
Gotcha. So
you may remember me hacking up a storm when we first started playing.
Yeah, and I remember when you used to make mistakes too.
What? I mean, there weren't that many, but okay. I mean, the typical classic map.
Now that you're a master, though.
But before we get into that subject, let's just talk a little more about what you've been playing, because it's been a year. I mean, I know you've been playing some games.
Even just today, I bought two more. I think these are both still in early access. One's like the most popular top selling game right now, which is
one of the most popular on Twitch.
PlayerUnknown's Battleground.
A terrible name, I think.
Garbage. Worst name I've come across in a long time. But I guess like that's to its merits, it shows that you don't have to have a great name, you have to have a great game. copyright Mildcrats 2017. Is that how copyright works? You just gotta like say it out loud and then it's speak it into existence.
I think it has to be like stored on some sort of medium.
One of those visualization gurus is like, believe it to achieve it. Like a lot of gurus use rhyming. Anyway.
It's true. That's how you know it's the stuff that they say is legit.
Garbage name. Like, just terrible. I mean, like, I could come up with probably 10 better names in an hour if I was like really just, and ones that would stick for 2 or 3 years if I just had to. But the game itself is a lot of fun. I played, you know, 2 or 3 rounds before I showed up at John's today.
So basically, and this is my understanding if someone hasn't played it, you're dropped into a gigantic 20 by 20 kilometer world or 8 by 8?
I think it's 8 by 8.
Okay,
I think
64 Arma square kilometer.
2 is like 20 by 20 or something.
And then the world shrinks, and you have to try to hide, gather resources, craft, find weapons, and kill the other people. It's sort of like that movie with...
I haven't seen an element of crafting yet, but it's a lot of looting. So it's like 7 days to die, and if you were not crafting, you're just trying to find lootables. But you're running around, and I think it's really cool So there's 100 players per match, which is crazy. That's a lot of people, especially when the map keeps shrinking. And honestly, like you
see,
it's
like that game
of,
1 vs. 100 on Xbox, right?
I totally remember that one.
Oh, that's a trivia game. Oh, you and 99 other people, computer trivia.
Yeah, it's like that, except you're killing each other.
There's no trivia.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I haven't gotten any trivia yet. It's still in early access. They could build trivia into it.
Are you familiar with it's a high-budget movie with Stone Cold Steve Austin called The Condemned?
No. Is it based on a video game of the same
title?
No,
but it sounds very much like this... game.
The premise is similar.
A bunch of really bad criminals are rounded up and thrown on an island, and whoever survives gets freedom.
So it's like a 100-man... I'm thinking of Isle of... The Most Dangerous Game.
But okay. Then, you know, because they wanted to make a statement about the current state of affairs, that everything was filmed and it was streamed as a reality show, pay-per-view, online streaming only.
Right.
Just to show how bad people are with their thirst for violence.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of like that...
which is a well-overused trope in movies, but we'll save that for the movie podcast.
Yeah, and then it's kind of like...
LTMIG.com.
It's kind of like reverse troped in The Dark Knight, where it's like, oh, the Joker's like, hey, here's a bomb for the other boat, and you guys have a bomb for that other boat over there. But, anyway, I think I was talking about, like, I played 2 or 3 rounds of this game. It's really cool. I like, so there's like a lobby where everyone spawns in at the beginning and you're all just running around in your underwear or whatever you're wearing and punching each other and that's yada, funny. Yada. But then like you all get dropped from like this AC-130 style giant like cargo plane and you all parachute. You get to decide when you want to parachute, which I think is really cool because this thing's just kind of like flying diagonally over the island.
Oh, nice.
So you kind of pick your own spawn in terms of like you drop out of the plane and you also have to parachute to where you want to go. You can kind of see where like points of interest are on the map. Like if there's... like a city, you're like, oh man, there's gonna be a lot of cool stuff there. But there's also gonna be like a lot of people probably dropping in there too. True. So you want to try and find like a log cabin out in the woods with like some nice, you know, guns and armor and whatever. I mean, I guess that's...
are there NPCs
strategy.
In this game?
Nope. Weird. But there are so many players though. Honestly, it starts out and it gives you a tally kind of tracker thing up here.
Sure.
On the top right corner that tells you how many players are still alive. And man, the counter on that thing goes down quick.
Wow. And like, so wait, when you die, do you have to observe the map?
No, you can immediately exit the lobby. Actually, I don't think there's spectating built into the game yet.
Oh, I think ghosting would be a real possibility, which would be bad.
I think you can spectate teammates. But like
are there
that's
teams?
It. No, teammates. Like so you can play solo. Oh. You can play as a duo or in a group. And like but those are all different modes, I think, where like if you're searching, like say you're playing at a duos game, then you're playing, you know, 50 other teams of two or 49 other teams of two. And like groups or teams, I don't know what the size is on those, but I'm sure it's the same idea where it's like you all drop in as a team. When you die, you can watch each other.
Okay.
But other than that, no, when you die, you just watch your corpse. Like you can kind of like look around or whatever, because otherwise it's kind of maybe what you're saying. I don't know if there's like chat between dead and live players. I haven't gotten into it that much yet. I think all the chat in game is localized to like people that are close to you, which I think is kind of cool because you could come across someone and be like, all right, let's kill each other. Sure. But let's kill each other when we're in the top 10 or something like that, you know?
And the thing that used to bug me a lot when I played America's Army is ghosting. You know, when you're dead, you're telling your alive teammates
where
the enemies
are.
They're
over there by the water tower. Yeah.
So I would imagine they're, especially with this being as popular as it is, I'm sure it's going to become quite competitive.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe even have like a CSGO type community. And I don't even know if they would have.
I don't. Yeah, it needs to be better
developed
to become an eSport, but I think it's the right concept.
That's hitting the sweet spot of what the gaming community wants right now.
Oh, yeah. People love it. And I think it's for good reason. It just, it needs help. Like, it's being built by a modder team. Like, I think it was originally a mod. It's like another one of these DayZ
things.
Still
got the Arma 2 or Arma 3 core, right?
Right, kind of. The controls are cleaned up a lot to be, like, really accessible. And, I mean, but some of the menus are still pretty bad. And, like...
So, this sounds to me like that one, the Culling game.
Yeah. I think conceptually it's like the Culling, but it's not garbage. So like,
yeah,
because
the Culling was garbage. It pissed me off that I spent $20 on that game.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not like we played a lot or something, but I just didn't feel that when the mechanics of a game are pretty broken, you can just kind of feel it immediately. and like, that's the thing. Games can be anything, right? Like, we were talking earlier, John lives and breathes Minecraft when you let him. Like, when he just wants to go full sail into playing Minecraft, he will. It was sponsored by Full Sail University.
Absolutely not. Sponsored by Trump University.
Oh, yeah. Well, if we're going to be sponsored by a garbage university.
Lawsuit result pending.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, there's two
pending lawsuit results.
oh, yeah. He is getting sued over that, right?
Oh, yeah. Very much so.
But, I mean, like, you can tell pretty much immediately playing a game whether or not you like it.
Oh, and when I started playing Minecraft right away, like, oh, my God. Because, you know, growing up, I had Kinects, Legos, Erector sets. I loved building things.
Yeah.
And this adds, like, a level of very minor electrical engineering where I can build circuits and machines that automate tasks for me. It's so much fun.
I think
I can get lost in that game.
At their core, games are about capturing an experience. And if you can do that with crappy mechanics, then you still have a good game. If you can do it with crappy graphics, you still have a good game. Like, it doesn't have to encapsulate everything. Like, one of my favorite games is Mount & Blade Warband. That game has bad graphics. It's not like Minecraft graphics where it's hard to look at, in my opinion. No, it's like,
I don't disagree with you.
But those are purposefully, like, of a certain design. It was like a design limitation probably for the guy who's like, I'm a coder. I'm not like a 3D animator.
If you told me I could only play vanilla Minecraft from this point forward, I'd say I'm done with that game.
Yeah, you probably. But that's my 7 days to die argument where you wanted to keep playing. And I think you did for a while. Where it's like, I've seen everything, so I'm okay with moving on. But for you, yeah, I don't know. Like, you kept going with it for a little while and stuff. You weren't immediately off of it, but I don't, like, for me, I was definitely done. As soon as I saw, hey, here's every gun in the game, here's the best it's going to get, and, like, we built a second fortress that was just, you, me, and your cousin built one that was, like, completely indomitable.
Fort Knox. So,
like,
yeah. Including tunnels that could get you out of there in case it got overrun.
Yeah, just ridiculous.
We put pre-stressed concrete and steel plates everywhere. Yeah, it was incredible.
It just wasn't going anywhere.
Oh, by the way, regarding the mods, as you can see right here, this is the mod pack I run just to play Minecraft. These are things that are not necessary, but they make it more enjoyable. There, as you can see, there are 18 items here.
For the listeners at home.
Yeah, for the listeners at home, there are 18 different mods I run when I play Minecraft.
18?
Yeah.
Are any of them like skin packs?
No, it's all stuff to make the game more user-friendly. And then there's just like maybe 5 moderator tools.
See, that reminds me a lot of like I used to play World of Warcraft, and before a lot of these add-ons got integrated, there were a lot of things like quest trackers that made them a lot easier, or like made the game inherently better just from, you know, like things that the developers probably wanted to do, just haven't gotten around to doing it.
And that's the thing. As a developer, you would be a fool not to embrace the modding community, because they will mod with or without your support.
And that's where I think this game could get really good. But the fact that it's being built by modders makes me leery that maybe they won't have modding support. Either out of like a...
Like I said.
Like an experience
with
limitation.
Or without their support.
Yeah,
look
that's
at Grand Theft Auto. They have absolutely no support for modders. People still mod it.
Of course they do.
And they're going to.
Yeah.
And I think that's just going to further piracy, because you have to play a pirated copy if you don't want to get banned. And that's already been pirated. They're already private servers and all that.
I'm surprised they haven't been like, all right, you guys can build mods for our games. We're just going to monetize all of them. Like kind of the thing that Steam was trying to do for a little while.
Oh, that lasted about 3 days.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was so popular.
Well, yeah. I mean, at least they saw it early on and had an immediate response to it. Like, that's one thing I respect about Steam, is they're willing to admit when they've made a mistake, oh, I think. Yeah. Like, companies are really afraid and ashamed of, like...
Well, they want to admit that it hurt their bottom line.
Yeah.
Well, and look at some games that we love that have great mod support. Insurgency.
Yeah, terrific.
Phenomenal mod support.
I don't even know if that's a great game without all the mods we play with.
Well, I mean...
They're not mods to make the game, like, more accessible or anything. They're literally, like, if you run long enough, it plays like a messed up version of the Sonic the Hedgehog theme. At the end of every match, it plays Moscow by Genghis Khan. Or like, at the beginning of every match, it plays Hulk Hogan's theme song. So those are all things that are like added to the game, but they're not particularly or inherently.
Well, it didn't start with this.
Yeah, no, it sure didn't.
There we go. Yeah. Like, whenever I hear this song, it just makes me want to play some Insurgency.
Whenever you see Hulk Hogan playing an electric guitar, pretending to play an electric guitar. Yeah, but that's something it's a sense memory exact for Insurgency. I don't think
it made the game so much better. like, as a developer, you cannot be so arrogant to think that you know what makes the game best.
Right.
You really do have to open it up for modders. And you look at even Rocket League. They opened up Steam Workshop, and they have custom training maps they let you create mm-hmm. now. I think it's great.
Let the community take you somewhere interesting. For me, like, my favorite modded game might be XCOM 2. And, like, the really dumb mods, people just do voice packs for it. So, like, instead of saying affirmative, they'll be like, yeah, sure, Greg. Ha, 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 ha. Or, like, whatever.
Well,
just,
hi, doggy.
Yeah. So, just replacing in-game, you know, like,
player responses. I did not. Well, hi, Mark.
Yeah.
Those are some great mods for that game.
The voice packs. But, like, honestly, the ones that aren't silly, like the armor they add and different things. Yeah. Like, people, there are some really talented individuals out there who are just modding games. I'm sure they have, like, things they do in their free, like, you know, as their occupation that might be related to that, but they still love doing it enough that they make cool things that they add onto the games. And when the game creators themselves just, like, think, man, that's awesome, you know, and just lean into it.
And unfortunately, that was never done with Minecraft.
No.
They did not create any modding support, so basically the game had to be reverse engineered to find the code, and then two modding frameworks were created, Lightloader and Forge.
But I think sometimes the modding support stuff doesn't come out of, like, them not wanting the game to be modded. I think it's more like,
with or without the developer support.
Developers inexperienced, though, and being like, possibly. I don't know how to integrate.
I don't know how to create an API support for mods or create hooks or
right.
anything like that.
Yeah, exactly. So,
if you want to run a good Minecraft server, you have to basically use an illegal deconstructed version of the Minecraft server that's with a bunch of modding stuff built into it. you know, you're basically breaking the law when you set up
a long Minecraft story server. Short, terrible named game, Battleground could be a really great game. It could be like a record setter, and it could do really awesome things. I think it could be an esports game, but it's got to be better developed. Like, long term, it's got to see significant improvement over where it is now, in my opinion. It's a lot of fun right now, but I think it's novel, and I think, like, in 3 weeks it's not gonna be the same game unless we see a lot of promise from developers and what have you in terms of where we can go from here. And to the level of, like, Rocket League. Rocket League is obviously the golden child of, like, hey, we are constantly working on our games. We're very transparent about what we're working on, and the updates are coming faster than you could even possibly conceive. So mm-hmm. The other game I want to talk about, like I said, I had bought two early access games today. Those are the ones I was going to talk about, because, like, what I've been gaming in the last 11 months, I could talk about some different things, but the other one I played today, I can tell I like the concept of the game a lot. It's kind of like Evolve in a way, but it's like there's no player controlled monster. It's just called Finding Bigfoot. And I'm going to see some fun gameplay footage of it. Check out one of PewDiePie's newest videos where he plays Finding Bigfoot. It's got some clickbait title like he always puts on his videos. I can't remember what it is. It's got a picture of Bigfoot, though, and he plays it with Cinnamon Toast Ken, and he says he's out trying to find the infamous Jack Spadicey, which is pretty funny. And instead of
Septicai or Spadicey?
It's from this whole, like, you know, okay, so PewDiePie is in trouble right now for being a Nazi or whatever. But, like, that all stems from this Fiverr thing, right? Where, like, he did a Fiverr video.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the things he did on it was, so PewDiePie's other fake channel that he has, it has more than 1 million subscribers, by the way, because it's kind of like a fun inside joke. He took the YouTube username Jacksepticeye2. And so Jacksepticeye2 has 1 million subscribers, but
he deleted it.
He sent a Fiverr request to Jesus or whatever, like the guy who does
Fiverr Jesus.
Yeah. And his whole thing was like, hey everyone, Jacksepticeye2 is my favorite YouTuber. Subscribe to Jacksepticeye2. But the guy in his own Fiverr thing says, if you want me to say something correct, include like a phonetic way of saying this. Or like, how am I supposed to say it? And PewDiePie didn't. So he says, hey everyone, subscribe to my favorite YouTuber, Jacksepticeye2. And so he like kind of has this really terrible, it's like a meme now that Jacksepticeye is like the kind of, we'll say, developmentally delayed cousin of Jacksepticeye. And So, like, he's always trying to find Jack Spadicey. And so in this newest video of Finding Bigfoot, he's just out trying to find Jack Spadicey. And every time the Bigfoot creature, like, comes into the video, is, like, running in to attack him, it plays a sped-up version of, like, Jacksepticeye's, like, top of the morning to you thing or whatever. It's really funny.
That's funny.
But I played the game. Like, I actually bought it. I was like, yeah, this is a fun concept.
Any good?
Me and Joel are kind of into, like, the paranormal kind of thing. And I don't think I believe in Bigfoot. That's pretty far for me. But he's a fun concept or character. And so, yeah, I think it's kind of cool. It's like trying to hunt a cryptozoological creature through the woods and, like, track it. And it's more powerful than you, so you have to kind of play it smart to, like, actually hunt it. And I don't know. It's very early access, like, right now.
Dead by Daylight, almost, except it's not player-controlled.
Yeah, kind of, except, like, I think that the advantage is probably to the hunters if you have enough people playing. Man, Dead by Daylight's a great concept, too. We should probably do a little more playtime with that and maybe an episode on it, but...
Definitely in that order, too.
Yeah.
I don't have much to say at this point.
No, me neither.
Although you convinced me to buy that along with every other game that we never play.
Yeah, I mean, I was ready to play, and then it's like, dude, I'll be on in 10 minutes. That's the only time I ever heard from you, and, like, we just didn't play, so... Oh,
sorry for having a wife.
Yeah,
too soon. All right.
Oof.
Oof, brutal.
Right?
Savage.
I'm going to take a cry break while we hear from our sponsors.
No. Savage.
Rocket League tie-in. We'll get to it. But finding Bigfoot... yeah, it's a cool game. I think it needs to be. It's another example of, like, this needs to be developed, because as it is right now, it's definitely showing a lot of signs of early access.
Oh, yeah.
Could be very cool, but as of right now, it's okay. It's, I don't know, 55 out of 100 Metacritics. That's kind of low, I guess. Let's say, like, 70.
Let me read off a couple real quick that you and I have both been playing a little bit of.
Sure.
Astroneer.
Yeah.
Cool game. But that's early access done right, I think.
Yeah.
It's pretty polished.
Well, I'm just going to be, like, completely transparent and say that, like, I literally grew up with this kid, and it's nothing to do with the fact that, like, I'm not going to try and convince people it's a great game because I have to or something. It just is. Like, it was a top seller on Steam for 2 or 3 weeks in a row or something crazy like that. Like, it is a really cool game. Like, this kid, like, his mom... was literally my babysitter for 5 years or whatever. So I know Jacob pretty well. He's a really cool dude. His studio is going to do everything right.
Very positive right now.
This kid's a genius. In high school, he, like, basically programmed a robot to play songs on a guitar. Like, he's just, I don't know, he does things that I imagine are impossible, including Astroneer. And yeah, I don't know. If you're looking for something to check out, I mean, it's you will not be dissatisfied. It's on Xbox, PC, all that stuff.
And they're doing early... Is it early access or is it final?
I believe it's early access still. But they already have, like, online co-op and couch co-op, I believe. And it's pretty feature-rich.
Yeah, it is early access. The worlds are beautiful. What a fantastic game.
Another buddy of mine, Riley, did the score for it. And he's musically a genius. And it shows a lot of signs of polish. Like, they wanted to make sure it was... pretty much next to a finished product before it hit early access, and, like, it's paid dividends. Cause it's been a very, like, popular game on there.
Right now, also, we've been doing some. Have you done City Skyline in the past year? Or City Skylines?
You're going to be a resident expert on that.
I've been playing that a lot. Maybe. That's just a fantastic city builder.
Well, yeah, you explained it basically as, like, SimCity done right.
Yeah, SimCity tore a big hole in my heart because it was just terrible. We could probably do an episode on just how bad it is. It was definitely phoned in.
We could, but I'll be like, I kind of like it. So,
well,
like,
no, it's great starting out, but as soon as you build a big city, it just falls to his knees.
You experience the limitations of it pretty quickly
because they phoned it in. They did not program it the way they should have. Also, we've been playing Starbound a good bit. And then the Forest. Remember right before 7 Days to Die, we got into the forest?
Yeah, and the forest was interesting.
We would have played it more, except that we got sucked into 7 Days to Die.
I think so. We were in a really big, like, crafting survival trend at that point. I think you were also looking at Hurt Land at that time, and I was really jealous and wanted to play it.
Hurt World.
Hurt World, yeah. But like now that I am in a better financial situation and stuff, I've not even like turned back to look at it. I'm sure it's been on sale more than a half dozen times. I could have picked it up. I just haven't. It looks like they're on workshop now, so that's kind of cool.
Currently it is $25. Still early access, so that's not looking good.
I'm going to pass for a while.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. So we both got Battleborn and never played it because it just, well, for obvious reasons.
This is something John and I like to do periodically. Go ahead and open up Battleborn's community page.
I think they paid off Steam to hide that.
Oh, really? Here's the thing, John. If it doesn't have a bare minimum number of players, it won't show you how many people are online.
We would pull it up and we'd see 200 players. 500.
Yeah, something like
so bad. And I feel bad for them because they built a good game, but the release was wrong, and they let people believe it was going to be like Overwatch. It's not. It's basically a first-person MOBA.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is not what Overwatch is.
People started immediately comparing it to Overwatch. Maybe they didn't know what Overwatch was going to be, but as soon as they knew what Overwatch was going to be different, they should have shut that down immediately. Mm-hmm. And been like, our game is different.
And they should have waited 2 months.
They should have released it. Yeah. Why did they release it on the same weekend? I feel bad for them. It was like the same day as Overwatch.
I played the beta. It wasn't bad. Like, it was fine. It was a solid game, but it just got a bad reputation it didn't deserve.
Well, it's just like, no, every spotlight in the world was on Overwatch at that point. And it kind of has like continued to be, at least in terms of...
Which is kind of unfair to other games, because I don't think that Blizzard should automatically get a spotlight because they're Blizzard.
But that game's also got a lot of polish, and it's pretty good. I don't know.
It's pretty good.
It's all the fun of like team building and like playing as a cohesive unit without the whole...
It's only fun with friends, though. When you play with randoms, they're so terrible. They are the worst of PC gamers.
Yeah.
Just the nasty things they say. They're yelling at you for choosing whatever hero you choose.
Right.
We totally need another tank.
People are either completely inexperienced or just take it way too seriously.
Or the people that are completely inexperienced will still let their opinion fly.
But I played it the other day. If you can, like, they separate group chat from, like, team chat. They actually handle everything pretty well in terms of, like, I just want to play this with a few friends and not be bothered by my team. They handle that pretty well, I think. So... I don't know, but the problem is, and what we're really talking about more here for a second, Battleborn is a much better game than its reception would make it seem.
And hopefully they can fix it. I think that they're tempted right now to engage a free-to-play model, which I think might be the only way to save the game.
To get a player base that would even merit the... Like, here's the thing. I think they can probably make this game free-to-play now. People who paid full retail probably won't mind just because they want
not gonna
people
play it anyway.
To play against. Well, they might not, but they also want...
Now, just give them some cool in-game swag or give them some skins or something.
Could you imagine, though, playing a game where it's like, you know that there are people at this game who are better than you, and they're the only people you ever get paired up against. So, like, they need to expand their player base.
Absolutely. Also, though, I'm going to wrap this up.
Thank God they're not the same developers as, like, Evolve, though.
Oh, yeah. It was at EA?
No, it was the same publisher as 2K.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, but Gearbox did
this one, and I don't remember who made Evolve, because they never made another game again, and they never will, but...
aside from all that, we've been doing a lot of Jackbox. Not recently, but in the past several months, we've done some streaming on Beam and Twitch.
And now that Beam's become, like, an actual thing, since it's, like, integrated with the console. Yeah, maybe we can play some together, and you can see our little bit... of our more inappropriate side.
Or, we can definitely do a live Facebook stream,
too. I'm going to have to get John to make an apology about that swear he used earlier by the end of the episode.
Oh, you'll bleep it out.
Was
it the S word?
It was the S
word. Okay, that's not so bad.
Well, maybe. Anyway.
So the topic at hand today is what we mentioned earlier, Rocket League, which we have nearly 2 years of experience with now.
It's crazy to think, yeah.
Matt and I both got into it right after it was released, about August of 2015.
To varying degrees. I think I was more into it at first, and then you've been more into it recently.
Yeah, I've been playing it like it's my job. So, starting out, I did not do well at Rocket League, to say the least. I did not know any of the rules of soccer, which there aren't a whole lot of soccer rules in Rocket League. But a lot of, like, the theory of soccer.
The concepts.
Like, don't kick it in front of your own goal when their strikers are heading towards you.
Don't do their work for them, basically. Don't hit it. Don't ever hit it back your own direction, that sort of thing. It's easier to come up on the ball than go back and get it. So, like, I think just conceptually it was more difficult for you because you're not... like, you don't come from the world of, I played sports as a kid, or, like, you know.
Or I played sports games as a kid, as in your case.
You're right. Well, I played sports as a kid, too.
That's true.
Thanks. is this just, like, take a giant dump on Matt Day?
No.
Okay, well, let's check in.
So what sports did you play? Because this is an aspect of you I was really not familiar with.
Soccer, basketball. I mean, this was all before I even hit middle school, probably. Okay. So, like, baseball. I think almost all of them, but football. So, yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, like, I have experience with all those things. And I grew up in a house where it's, like, or in different places where it's, like, I would go watch a football game. Whereas at your house, it was probably weirdly, like, something.
We weren't allowed to watch football games because of the commercials.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't about the violence. It was about the commercials.
I gotcha.
They were too risque. But we got to watch baseball games, so I guess. Maybe they have better commercials.
Yeah, I just don't know how applicable baseball is to Rocket League, I guess.
Not at all.
Wait for the other team to pitch you the ball.
I don't know. It's not like a goal sport.
Do you think they could make... I wonder if they could make some kind of baseball out of it. Because I wonder, like, if you had to do aerials to hit the ball out there and, like, other players could catch the ball, it'd be kind of cool. Yeah, I don't know.
Mitt on top of your car.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it seems silly, but, like, they might as well make a giant mitt topper. It's the right... They've built the game in such a way they can do whatever they want with it. They already did basketball. Not like people... Not like hoops is anyone's favorite game type, but...
What about golf, where everyone starts at the same time, you have to hit your ball into the hole, you want to hit other people's balls, too.
That'd be kind of cool.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Hey, Psyonix.
Well, let's stop doing their work for them.
Yeah, no kidding.
And talk about our experiences, our relevant experiences with the game thus far. Okay.
Yeah, and I really do feel terrible making a joke at your expense.
Oh, yeah, whatever. Okay, just buy me a beer after this.
All right.
I don't drink.
I won't buy joke. One anyway.
It's fine. Yeah, he's a cheapskate. anyway. So
yeah, we got into it. Your group of friends played with me and you, and they were not generally pleased with my performance at all. Some of them more than others, really.
You ran into the problem pretty early on of someone trying to coach you, which is not a fun way to learn a video game.
But not out of, like, trying to make me better, but out of frustration because I was ruining our team.
Yeah, you had a real penchant at the beginning of hitting the ball. It's like, you just wanted to make contact with the ball. So, like,
the ball chaser. Yes.
Yeah, so, like, regarding which direction the ball was going. Exactly.
Just got to make contact.
Excited puppy trying to prove he could hit the ball.
My favorite clear was where I would hit the ball in front of our goal, perpendicular to the goal. Not perpendicular, parallel to the goal.
Yep.
And I couldn't figure out why the other team was just drilling it in when I did that. Much to the chagrin of my teammates.
Right, who already at this point knew. It's just because you're setting them up. Like, you're being their fourth teammate.
But here's the thing now. I do those clears from time to time, and they don't get pounded in because I'm more aware of what's going on and where the other team is.
They can be a calculated risk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you can even say calculated after you do it.
Oh, okay,
with Quick Chat.
Which is... I mean, like, that's more... Yeah, let's get into what you really wanted to talk about with Rocket League, which isn't like semantics or it's not, game strategy or whatever. Go ahead.
Well, the toxic player base or?
Just all the things that bring out the worst in a human being.
Okay, so Matt and I have a bit of a different approach to games. Maybe it's because I didn't play sports as a kid. I don't have that desire to win so much as most of the people that I know. So I could play a game, suck at it, and just be like, okay, whatever. Occasionally I'll get pissed off, but mostly, I'll take the good games, I'll take the bad games. However, that's not how Matt plays, and the problem with our Rocket League gaming is we will lose a game and then we'll hit a gigantic losing streak where nothing we do will ever get us up more than a goal in a game.
Yeah, I mean, the ball is a sphere. It can go anywhere.
Magnet there in our goal,
exactly.
And the ball is made out of whatever.
There are
rare earth magnets.
Strings of games where it does seem like that's the only direction the ball bounces is on our side of the field, and that's frustrating.
Oh yeah,
I think, like, I try and keep a pretty squeaky clean persona on here. Like, I'll make a risque joke, but I'm not gonna like. But when I play Rocket League and things are not going well, my vocabulary shifts to where I only know about 10 words, and I can't say any of them on this podcast.
It's true. And to a degree, I completely understand. Like, I'm not as upset, but I'm still mad that we can't we can't like get out of the slump. And that's the thing about slumps, is because people want to say, oh, you know, slumps, that's just superstition. But there really is like a psychological element to a slump that will keep you down.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing that's most, it's most similar to baseball in that way. It's like, oh, yeah. you see teams go on losing streaks, on winning streaks.
It's because you're so upset. But like the harder you try to play, the worse you are at actually letting your gut and your reflexes kick in.
Yeah.
When you're trying to use that, you're trying to use your, what brain is it? The cerebrum or whatever.
Cerebral.
I have no idea what I'm talking about, but you're trying to use your active brain. And you're not actually using muscle memory.
Right.
And you do a much worse job at playing.
It's the anger center of your brain, though. Like, yes. I think it really is. Like, it's the part that's near the amygdala.
The amygdala, yeah.
And, like, it's the part that's just, like, reptile firing on, like, the worst part of who you are.
Oh, yeah.
And
I've had a few reptilian responses to own goals and the other team just getting so stinking lucky.
Yeah. There is an element of that. I think there are probably moments when we get lucky too, but like you just...
Well, are you familiar with the term 50-50 in Rocket League?
No.
That's where two guys are heading at the ball from opposite directions.
Yeah. So it's like every face-off then should technically be a 50-50.
But like when you do a 50-50 and then just from lack or whatever reason, it just drills it straight into your goal.
Yeah.
Even though you make contact.
Right.
That would not happen in real life. You realize that's the game. Like it's lag or it's the engine not handling that situation properly. It could be a million things. But it sucks, and it ruins the rest of the game. You get so frustrated, you can't play well. You think that the other teams basically got it rigged.
I don't think I've ever gotten... I think I get mad sometimes. There are teams that I feel like I'm better than, and this is such a stereotypical cliche Rocket League thing. Like, there are teams where I'm like, these guys are not better than us. These guys are trash, yada, yada.
And it's actually true. They are trash. Like,
or sometimes.
They're on the ground the whole time.
Sometimes they're as good as we are, or they're just whatever.
But let's talk about the teams that actually are trash. They don't do anything in the air. They're ball chasers. They have no strategy, no cohesion.
They play everything out of the corner where all three of them are just circling the ball.
It's like a lot of low speed action because everyone's just hitting the ball in the corner.
Yep.
And they'll just get goals on us.
Yeah.
Because we're so frustrated. That is the most frustrating thing.
Easily.
Oh, and so, and then the worst thing is like, we'll start to get good and then they'll like say something like too easy and quit.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I don't know. We've gotten to the point now, if we're losing a lot or anything, you just get frustrated. Our go code or like go sign for like the fact we might be leaving a game, especially if we've lost a couple in a row. We'll put in four, and in quick chat, we'll put four easy, and then we'll just bolt, which is
really funny because we're losing.
Very, very trollish. Yeah. And, it's kind of silly. I think, like, all of my frustrations with the game, by the way, I think there are moments where I get mad that we lose, you know, mm-hmm. especially when I feel like the other team wasn't as good. But I think the biggest thing that makes me really mad at the game, like, when I'm really frustrated and upset with myself, just because I feel like I'm not playing to my own caliber. Like, that game is one of the only games where I feel like I'm just super inconsistent. Like, sometimes I'll be amazing, and sometimes I can't make contact with the ball. So it's just, you go back and forth. It's like these slumps you're talking about, and it's tough. I don't know. I don't know how to remedy it either.
I think the best way to remedy it, since, I mean, obviously it's not the best way, because the best way would be to figure out what you're doing wrong, stop doing it, and start winning. Just walking away. And that's, I think, is what we've gotten to that point where we'd say, oh, let's just play some GTA. Let's play something. And then, you know, we'll get destroyed in some public lobby. And then, you know.
Well, let's play something else. Except.
Let's go drink Bleach Drinking Simulator. Let's go play that.
GTA is even worse somehow. In that when someone kills you in that, you're like, oh, I'm not getting killed by this level 42 player or whatever. And it starts some kind of all-out war, which is kind of ridiculous, because as soon as I get into a lobby where I see different people doing that, I'm like, oh, this lobby's terrible. Like, these people are...
And that's when you leave. You get into the point where you realize it's going to, like, affect your own sanity. So you get ahead of it and you find a different lobby where, you know, 36 people are killing each other.
Yeah, sometimes. I don't know. I've had a better experience. I'm on a week where I feel okay with GTA Online, but there are definitely times, too, where I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. You guys want me to buy shark cards?
You have your finest shark card salesman in here trying to ruin all my missions.
Yep. And it's way worse in terms of like frustration and like your terrible player base as you're talking about. But
yeah, so you get you leave Rocket League, you play something else, you come back and you do better. And recently we've had some amazing nights.
Yeah, it's either my most favorite game to play in the world and like the one that I'll have the most fun playing and I can't put it down, or it's like I play that game and I feel like I've accomplished nothing in life and that like everything is terrible and whatever. So like it's just it's crazy the amount to which how I play the game the different night affects my mood moving on. So like it puts me in legitimately a pretty terrible mood like if I play poorly. Like, I'll just be thinking about it for a while I'm doing other stuff, like watching YouTube videos or whatever. It's like, man, what am I doing? Just, like, this game shouldn't have that much power or influence over, like, my psyche, but it does.
Yeah. And I don't know why that is, other than just the fact that it just feels unfair. You get dropped in with a stranger for 5 minutes to play a game. You don't know this person. A lot of times you don't even communicate with them. So it shouldn't bother us so much when they beat us.
Yeah.
But it does.
Well, it goes back to a lot of what you're saying, which is every time you miss a save and immediately quick chat is being spammed, what a save,
or
what
a nice
save,
shot,
block.
Whatever. If you do it in your own goal or if you miss a shot, they'll be like, nice shot or thanks.
Yeah.
And like the problem is, though, like it really upsets me and then I start doing it. So when I play on PC, I don't do this on Xbox because I don't have a keyboard, but when I do it on PC, I try to be super positive, and I play mostly 1v1 ranked, so I just try to, every time we're both straight on with the ball, I say, take the shot, and then I try my best to defend it. Like, I think it's fun, and it kind of disarms them a little bit, because they're like, whoa, if I do a really good shot, I can get it in his goal.
Right.
So then right away, they see me as not someone who's like a try hard, but someone that's just willing to have some fun.
One-on-one, if you're a jerk during a one-on-one game, then you're just a jerk. You know what I mean? Because, like, if you're playing with a group of your friends and you're being a troll, maybe it's because you think they think it's funny, or maybe they do think it's funny, or you think maybe the other team will think it's funny. But there's a reason you're doing it. If you're being a troll one-on-one, then you're just a jerk. Like, there's nothing else to it. It's like Schadenfreude.
So, here's the Schadenfreude or Schudenfreude.
Schadenfreude. It's like the idea that you're getting...
taking pleasure in someone else's misery.
Exactly.
So, you know our mutual friend Travis, who lives in town, not the one that's out of town.
You know that he doesn't live in town anymore, right? But I mean, he lives in Chicago?
No. Our other mutual friend Travis, the one that lives in town.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, never so... mind.
You were playing with this with him more recently. Sorry.
Yeah, so...
He's not the one I associate with Rocket League.
And he's what you would call like a epitome of a troll, wouldn't you say? He's pretty trollish.
In most games, but then sometimes he's like weirdly deadly serious. Like he plays Arma 3 and he falls in line and like is part of a platoon and just, I don't know, like he RPs hardcore and that sort of thing.
So
when he plays Rocket League, obviously he's a little bit different. I've not played with him that much, honestly.
We're playing 2v2 ranked and we are down 3 points. So it was like, 3-0. And the guy on the other team says, would you guys like some tips? Right away, our friend Travis is like, no, why would we take tips from you? You guys are terrible.
And the guy's like, you guys are trash.
You guys are trash or whatever. So, or he says something that we won't repeat on this podcast. But so the guy was like, well, fine, just have fun losing. Well, we end up winning 8-3. you could just tell how upset the other person was. But like, if you switch it. Like,
if you can somehow...
Put myself in that guy's shoes. Yeah. He was being nice. And I wouldn't have said that to that guy. I would have been like, what's your tip? Okay, thanks. Like, that's how I play.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of funny because, like, I thought that was hilarious. But if I was in that guy's shoes, I would be like, wow, this Rocket League community is the worst.
I think that's the problem, though, because it's open to interpretation. Yeah. Like, Travis might have been like, do you guys want some tips? Like, maybe that's his trollish way of saying, like, you're terrible.
You know what? At the end, he did say, I was just kidding. You guys are pretty good. He did say that.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of funny because, like, I thought it was hilarious. But had I been on the other team, I would have been like, oh, my God, I hate this community so much. So, like, you have to be self-aware enough to realize, like, sometimes you are part of the problem that you complain so much about.
Yeah, that's...
I felt so good beating them 8-3, though.
Beating them 8-3?
And I got, like, 3 of those goals, too.
Nice. There you go. So you, like, tied it up on your own.
Yeah.
I mean, that's... Yeah. But, again, like, just that speaks to this game is... me at my highest of highs and lowest of lows. But I don't know.
It's just really important, though. As a gamer, if you have a really strong opinion about the community, or you're really upset about the toxic nature, just don't let yourself become that way.
Right.
Because this sounds like a cliche, and it is, but you are becoming part of the problem.
And that's the thing, too, is it's kind of like that kid who gets beaten growing up, so he beats his kids, right? Like, I mean, I don't know. So these
just good parenting.
Well, I mean, there might be an argument for it these days, but like, no, it's just like, yeah, exactly. You're only seeing glimpses of the community. You know what I mean? So like, this person's being a troll, but maybe they just got out of a lobby where they were getting shut down. They lost 10-0. So now they're up on you by like 2 or 3 goals. And they're like, all right, well, I'm going to start putting in like the what if saves and the nice shots and
calculated
great passes. Yeah.
This is my favorite.
I might, you know what? Like, I took away a lot of my ammunition for being a troll. And that's just one thing, too. Like,
well, you changed your quick chats?
Yeah, I changed all my quick. I think, honestly, one of my biggest trolling things that I say now in quick chat okay is just kind of like, oh, I'll only say okay if I know you got a goal that was purely luck. It was just like you had no business getting that goal.
Or if
just,
I spam calculated, you just say okay.
Okay. Yeah. So like it's if someone's being a troll or my way of being a troll, if it's like you got a goal you didn't deserve one iota. But I think my other biggest troll I was gonna say is in position. It's because you get a team of 3 people who are just ball chasers and like they'll just be chasing the ball. So you'll make one quick redirect on the ball. All 3 of them are immediately out of position, so you run the ball back all the way across the field and just score on them and you just spam in position. Like obviously they weren't in position, but yeah. Like I took a lot of the things that are meant for team chat and just made them general chat. So like I'll just
like,
start
take the
out.
Shot.
Yeah. I'll start out most games with like take the shot or need boost, like incoming centering. Like, and people are just kind of confused by it, I think.
But it's kind of disarming too. And one of the things that I do now is I'm working on aerials. So I miss a lot of aerials.
Yeah.
So as soon as I screw up an aerial, I'll just say calculated.
I've yeah,
poke fun at myself. That's funny.
I've seen a lot of. I'm also folding finally to the idea of like, all right, aerials are mostly helpful, but like, man, I don't know. I had one of my worst, most explosive nights was just like John introduced me to his new super cool Rocket League friend who sounded like he was baked out of his mind the entire time.
It probably was.
And the dude's just like scoring. Like, honestly, he's scoring a lot, but I don't see him scoring, like, these incredible and amazing aerials. He did a few of them, and he, like, the last game we played together, he, like, really pulled out all the stops, I think. But, like...
Well, to prove a point.
Pretty much.
Because we had a big argument. You said aerials are stupid, they hurt the team, and they're just... You just...
Because that had been my experience.
You blowing your wad on the game instead of doing something responsible. You're spinning through the air, and...
That had been my experience with it. By and large, like, I don't play with a lot of people who are good at aerials. I play with a lot of people who are like trying to learn aerials or think they're good at aerials, and like that's problematic.
So we had this heated discussion, and then to prove a point, my stoner friend just pulled out all the stops like you said and made a bunch of cool aerial goals the next game.
Yeah, 3 or 4 like pretty impressive aerial goals, and finished one out by like scoring in the very last second, I think, with one. And he's very talented, I'll give him that. I mean, I think he's got probably a lot more time in than either one of us.
Yeah.
But
and he was a nice guy. He just, you know, he sounded
fine.
Like he was baked out of his mind, but he was pretty cool.
He's fine. I mean, in terms of people I've met on Xbox, he's in the upper echelon of, like, friendly souls.
It's true. So, one story that I had, and, you know, it kind of goes back to wanting to be self-aware. I was playing a match with this guy, 1v1 ranked, and... He was, like, down 3 points. And I said, you know, hey, you know, you got to score every, like, 20 seconds to win this one. You know, you might have it in you. And he's like, well, the opera ain't over till the fat lady sings. And I was like, oh, leave your mom out of this. And, you know, just kind of friendly banter. But apparently he didn't see it that way. And so, you know, I scored. Instead of him scoring 3 goals, I scored 3 more goals on him. So it was, like, 6-0. And, so I kind of made him watch all the goals, too.
He was affected. You got in his head, huh?
I made him watch them all.
Like, I don't know.
And at the very end, I think I sent you a screenshot. He was like, you're an effing a-hole, and then he quit. So I was like, man, did I really make him, did I really hurt his feelings? Like, I thought it was just being funny. Like,
I mean, I don't know. Like, you and I have had a lot of problems, too, recently on Xbox, where we play with the brother that I'm living with, though. We play with a lot of his friends,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
And they all come with, like, their own baggage, and everyone's got, like, their own problems and stuff, right? John's got baggage that I'm aware of. I picked up a lot of my own in the last year. But, like, when people give me some crap about it, I kind of just either brush it off my shoulder or laugh at it myself. Yeah. Yeah, so, like...
Or I like to double down and just, like, I top them so that, like, they don't have control. I make a self-deprecating joke.
Right. So like,
they don't have control of... By bringing up my baggage.
Yeah, you either have to, like, learn to live with it or learn to just let it go. Yeah. And so you have to do one of those things, kind of, like... Laugh at it for yourself or brush it off. So
absolutely.
We were playing with some different people, my brother's friends, and I just like...
His wife had just left him because he's an alcoholic.
Yeah, and there's some legitimacy to the fact that he probably was, and it was playing the game.
He was
and
he's
pretty,
drunk.
Pretty, yeah, he inebriated. Gone,
playing badly.
And I don't even remember what I said. I don't think it was anything that toxic or inflammatory, but... Guy just is like,
you made
you're
a
the
joke
worst,
about him drinking.
You're the worst kind of person, and your brother does all these cool things, which, by the way, my brother doesn't do these cool things.
In the game?
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Well, like, that's just one of those weird cult of, like, my brother's...
Cult of personality? Yeah.
Friends. Well, I was going to say his gamer tag, but I realized it's maybe a bad idea. But, like, there's this whole group that thinks he's just, you know... cooler than sliced bread and whatever, like, that's fine. He has a community he's involved with, he's got his friends on there,
but doesn't mean he's incapable of doing something wrong or being bad at a game,
nor does it mean that, like, I have to filter myself specifically to, like, problems that firstly I'm not aware of. Like, if your wife's leaving you because, you know, you have a problem with alcohol and I make a joke about, hey man, take it easy on the drinks, like, ha ha ha. I mean, I'm making a joke that I would have made to anyone else in the world.
And it wasn't that. It was something really benign.
It was. Like, I don't remember
specifically. Like, he has to go to the bathroom and, like, yeah, and you're going to like pour yourself a drink while you're at it.
Must have really broke the seal or something. Like, I mean, yeah, just something
minor. And him, instead of saying, well, yeah, I'm an alcoholic, I need to work on it, he just threw it back on you. You know, common defense mechanism, whatever,
make it
deflection.
My problem, blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. Classic first semester freshman psychology. But the thing was, he started being a real doucher.
Yeah, and kept kicking us out of the party.
Well, no,
like...
he kept kicking you out of the party. The first time I got kicked, I turned off my Xbox and went to bed because I don't tolerate that sort of, like, passive aggression.
I mean, I stopped playing with them and, like, also just did something else. But it's just, I don't know. Everyone has problems. I think as soon as you realize that, you're better off. Like, no one gets through life completely unscathed. Yeah. You can look at people and be jealous of them and things and think that person really has everything put together, or I would love to be in their shoes. But realistically, they've got something else that makes them, you know, weird, or like that bothers them, or just that they're completely insecure about, or something they're working through. So
plus, it's just a reminder, if you ever have a little bit of power, don't abuse it when you feel like you're being made fun of or something. Like,
right
to him, the power was he owned the Xbox party, so he was able to kick us out. It's the same kind of people that become moderators or whatnot. They go on a little power trip. Someone hurt their little fifis, and
or
they,
like, president or whatever.
Well, there's that too. Someone hurts their feelings, so they got to go on an all-out Twitter war
for sure. Well,
just let it go.
Do you have anything else to add at this point, John? I think we've filled up a lot of these nice people's time.
Well, I mean, we could always talk about theory of Rocket League and, you know, different maneuvers. And
I don't want to get all of our episodes out of
air dribbling and regular dribbling. It's really hard.
Okay, let's talk about one last thing here, and it's Drop Shot. Let's talk. It's their new game mode. John has no taste for it at all, just doesn't like it. I think it's really cool. For no other reason than you're not going to get... There's a very small chance you're going to get shot out, like, 8-0 or something, you know?
Yeah, it's so frustrating at times, though.
I think it's... But the thing about it, it's such a different way of playing the game.
It's a great idea.
We don't know how to play it yet.
And it's great aerial training, too.
It really is.
Because you're flying most of the time.
So you're trying... Yeah, exactly. You're almost constantly trying to make contact with the ball while it's still in the air. I think also...
There are a lot of merits to it.
It's a good aerial defense training, too, because you just, like, kind of need to see where they're going with it to be able to, like, play it off of their aerial.
I think the field needs to be bigger, a little bit bigger.
Could be.
I think that also, the problem is there are a lot of 50-50s where I know I hit the ball and someone else hit the ball, but the ball turns their color.
I think the only, like, real complaint I have, the boost could stand to come back a little bit faster. I wouldn't mind if it recharged a little more quickly.
Yeah, just 100% boost. Just go all out.
Just leave it the whole time?
Just permanent boost.
I think that'd be interesting because, like, people would
more
make
fast-paced.
Really crazy over calculations and be like, oh crap, I'm super out of position, my car is flipped upside down, and just whatever.
You can boost your way out of it.
And I could see them doing like a version of that with this.
You could do a custom lobby, but yeah, like for the official.
Yeah, for sure.
So they've had some new game modes. It started off with hockey, then it went to basketball, and then Rumble, and then now Drop Shot. And I don't play hockey, and I don't play basketball. They're cool, but they're
you seem to like Rumble quite a bit. It's a nice change of pace. Maybe it's like a way less serious.
You can relax and just have a good time. It doesn't matter if you win or lose. It's not like it's ranked, which is good because some of the power ups are so hacky.
Are built in too. So you'd be like, "Well, all I got was tornadoes the whole time." And you're like,
"Whoa, yeah," or you know, some guy got spikes over and over and stole it from my magnet.
Exactly.
It's funny. It's like a cartoony kind of version of the game, which I think is great.
It's silly. That one's one in particular.
Well, the boot's really funny because you can kick some other players around.
Magnet used to be like I think overpowered, and now it's almost like worthless.
Yeah, it's completely nerfed. And then the tornado, you best to get rid of that really right away.
Just click it as soon as you get it. Yeah. Teleporting is kind of fun, and just in that it kind of like messes other people up. I've never seen like the tactical advantage of like a well-timed teleporting or whatever. I don't think you ever will because it's not going to become. It's not going to be like Rumble Esports Edition or something.
The rappelling thing, the hook where it like shoots a line.
Oh, yeah. And like you come to it?
It connects to the ball and you fling into it. That one's great.
That one's amazing.
And sometimes. The punching glove is great.
It's like a good counter to that one almost.
But there's a lot of, they need to release some more power-ups, I think. Just make it, I don't know, make 10 or so of them.
Maybe the most, like, worthless one, in a way, is the frozen ball. Like, it's kind of weird. I mean, it's just a stall. It's just a, like,
Oh, and then the most OP is the spikes.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, all you have to do is hit the other car, but it is pretty tough to hit the other car sometimes.
Well, you could just aerial your way.
Especially if you're stressed out. Like, have you ever tried to blow someone up, like, and do a demo when you're really mad at another team? Like, you can't do anything? Like, it's really hard to demo somebody on purpose sometimes.
It really is, because then they're on to you.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So, yeah, the modes are fun. They're whimsical, some more than others. But Drop Shot, I'm sure I'll love it at some point. It's helped me get better at aerials, but it can be very frustrating because sometimes people get some really hacky goals.
It's a way better new game mode than basketball.
It's a very balanced game mode. The fact that your floor resets when you get scored on is great.
And that's what I mean. Like, you're not going to get shut out. You know, 10-0. So that much is nice. And if you do, then... Yeah, I guess you need some practice with aerials. Anyway.
In the sky?
And where else would they be, John?
I don't know. Ask Serge Tankin.
Serge Tankin. Yeah. Welcome back, I guess, right? How do you feel, John?
Oh, I feel great.
It's really nice to be back. And
I love this podcast. I'm glad we're actually going to keep it alive. The makeshift
studio. Yeah.
It's actually looking a lot more like a studio now.
It is.
We've got a couch. We've got a chair.
And maybe at some point, I know we make promises a lot, maybe you will actually see it.
Picture of the studio?
Well, I just been like, maybe we'll do some video stuff in the future.
So it's getting right on right now.
Okay, so I guess like almost lastly here, I just want to do a shout out to Ruby and her boyfriend, right? Was it?
Yeah, the only person that gave us this amazing fan mail on our Facebook page.
Yeah, so.
Said that we got them through a long drive through Kansas or something like that.
Yeah, they listened to us like all the way there and back. That's really awesome.
We cracked them up, which that was news to me.
Probably just laughing about my story.
This is kind of a drama podcast about gaming, so.
No, it's probably like my medical story I told about the Legend of Zelda. Yeah.
Constipation.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, okay, so the Zelda episode, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know, one of them.
It was either constipation or diarrhea.
Oh, now it's like, who knows? Well, anyway, you'll have to figure that out for yourself.
Yeah, listen to our entire back catalog.
Yeah, exactly.
If you have 2 days to
the way to and from something. Yeah, we are pretty close to that, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. Just about. We have 31 episodes at, say, an hour 10 each.
And this episode feels like it's been about 3 hours long.
Oh, absolutely. So. I mean, we're at an hour 17. So.
Wow. Okay. It feels great to be back. Thank you, Ruby and boyfriend. I don't know if we ever got the name or not, but I'm glad you guys both really enjoyed our program. And sorry about that kind of... I think I responded and was like, oh, yeah, just keep it up or keep listening. More content to come.
And then we never released another
podcast. We might have released like one or two more episodes after that, and then we just went silent for 11 months. So
Doesn't matter.
I'll apologize. There were a few personal things going on. But yeah, I think I'm back and feel better than ever about this now. And John's excited.
I'm very excited.
Awesome. All right. This has been Enlightened Gamer for this week. I hope it's been enlightening. We'll see you next time.